The gospel lesson for today from the gospel according to St. Mark in the 10th chapter. It is the story of a man who finds freedom because Jesus restores his ability to see. Jesus and the disciples came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples in a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, given the setup that it got, you might be wondering what a nice group of Methodists like us is doing celebrating a distinctly Lutheran holiday like Reformation Sunday. I mean, we don't get out the party hats and the paper horns for Aldersgate Day, which is the closest thing we Methodists have to a denominational birthday. So why on earth would we be celebrating a primarily Lutheran day? Well, in one way, there might never have been an Aldersgate Day without Martin Luther. But because not everyone has had the distinct pleasure of taking church history parts 1 and 2, maybe I need to back up. In the year 1517, there was a German monk named Martin Luther. Martin Luther's father, Hans Luther, came from peasant stock. He had started life as a miner, and eventually he got to the place in life where he owned the mine. But like lots of fathers, Hans Luther wanted his son to have a better life than he did, and so wanted young Martin to become a lawyer. So in 1501, he sent young Martin to school, where Martin took all the sorts of classes that would prepare one for a career in the law. However, in July of 1505, Luther had a life-changing experience that set him on a new course. He was on horseback riding back to university to take up his law studies again when he got caught up in a terrific thunderstorm. He was nearly struck by lightning and got thrown from his horse. He feared for his life, and so Martin Luther cried out to St. Anne, the patron saint of miners, "Save me, St. Anne, and I will become a monk." It was one of those promises we make to God that if we thought about it a little more, we might not make. But that's the vow that Martin Luther made. Sure enough, the storm subsided, and Martin Luther was saved. And so, true to his word, Martin Luther became a monk, a decision that greatly displeased his father, who still wanted Martin to become a lawyer. But young Martin, being a very scrupulous sort of person, knew that he had to keep the promise that he had made to God. Besides, he figured being a monk would be a good way to deal with his own terrible fear of God's wrath and God's punishment. Luther, you see, would spend hours in the confessional, searching his conscience, trying to confess every conceivable sin he thought he might even possibly have considered committing, much less the sins he knew he had actually committed. For hours on end, Martin Luther would confess his sins, he would pray prayers, he would flagellate himself, he would undergo fasts, doing everything he could possibly think of to do to make himself right in the sight of God. Unfortunately, the monastic life with its stringent rules and rigid structure gave Martin Luther no peace of mind. So his ecclesial superior, the abbot of his order, decided to send Martin Luther on a trip to Rome. He thought maybe going to a convention of young theologians might help Martin Luther ease his mind, but that trip to Rome made nothing better for young Martin. Luther returned to Germany more disillusioned and very discouraged by the immorality and the corruption he found in Rome among the Catholic hierarchy. And so at that point, in consultation with his moral and ecclesial superiors, Martin Luther thought, well, what am I to do? And they decided to send Martin Luther to graduate school, because nothing eases the uneasy conscience like graduate school. So Martin Luther enrolled in the University of Wittenberg to pursue doctoral studies in theology, which finally proved a subject at which he excelled. Soon after earning his doctorate, Martin was appointed to the theology faculty at the University of Wittenberg, and there he taught classes on the scriptures. And so while Martin Luther began to enjoy tremendous success in his career, he was still haunted by his fears about God and God's punishment, still believed that if he wasn't careful, if he wasn't a truly good person, he would experience God's wrath and go to hell. He was still a person unable to do anything to please God. And thus it was in 1517 that Luther's internal struggles with his spirituality and his external struggles with the corruption that he had found in Rome came to a head. Because it was in 1517 that Pope Leo X launched perhaps history's most notorious capital campaign. Pope Leo needed money in order to build St. Peter's Basilica. And to do it, he played on the worst fears of people exactly like Martin Luther, their fear of hell. To raise money, the church began to sell what were called indulgences, which, for all their very complicated theological history, amounted to a get-out-of-purgatory-free card. If you bought an indulgence, your time in purgatory could be reduced. And that get-out-of-purgatory-free card could be bought for either you or for your loved one. Now, a monk by the name of Johann Tetzel, who may well be the father of modern advertising, was making a mint off selling indulgences in northern Germany by preaching, when a penny in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Catchy, yeah? Just a little advertising detail. Luther was horrified by this abusive and corrupt practice, and he included a criticism of it, along with 94 other complaints and criticisms, in a document that we now call his 95 Theses. The first two of these theses, or ideas, contained Luther's central idea, which is that God intended for sinners to seek repentance, and that faith alone and not deeds, would lead to salvation. Now, legend has it that Martin Luther took this document of 95 theses and he nailed them to the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg. And it is that act that is credited with starting the Protestant Reformation. What Luther intended was probably rather less dramatic than that. Because by publishing or posting his 95 theses on the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg, what he was really doing amounted to circulating a memo among his colleagues on the theology faculty, inviting them to discuss and to debate his ideas. But precisely because he had picked a public forum, Luther had basically taken the Twitter or Facebook platform of his day, and these ideas went viral. In fact, the new social medium of the day was the printing press. And these 95 theses got printed up, And they were circulated all over Germany within 2 weeks, and they had gone all over the whole of Europe within 2 months. So not surprisingly, Martin Luther and his ideas came to the attention of the Pope, Pope Leo X. And the Pope, through various cardinals and bishops and archbishops, ordered Martin Luther to recant his theses. But instead of recanting, saying he disavowed them, Martin Luther chose to defend his ideas, asking those who wanted to prosecute him, "Show me in the scriptures the basis of my errors. Read the scriptures and tell me where it is I'm wrong." And Luther would press the attack further, arguing that it was the Bible itself and not the Pope which was to be each Christian's central authority. Obviously, tensions mounted, the arguments escalated, and Luther was excommunicated in 1521. But before all of that happened, before any of those events unfolded, Martin Luther had made the theological discovery that lay at the heart of the Protestant Reformation. Because as a young scholar and teacher, Martin Luther sought to know what St. Paul meant when that apostle wrote that the just shall live by faith. After years of study and prayer, Luther realized that the key to our salvation was not fearing God, was not being enslaved by religious dogma, but rather to believe that faith alone would bring about our salvation. What Luther had discovered is what Augustine and theologians before him had discovered, namely that salvation cannot be earned through doing good works or trying to be a good person. Rather, salvation is God's good gift, apprehended by faith, by trust, by believing that it is God's good gift given to me, merely because God wants me to be saved. So how does Martin Luther, this 16th century German reformer, connect with John Wesley, the 18th century English reformer? And the answer is this. Like Luther, John Wesley had questions and doubts and often fears about his eternal destiny. Like Luther, Wesley wondered just what it was he needed to do to secure God's favor. And like Luther, Wesley was a member of a church that had often lost its way in terms of addressing the spiritual needs of its members. And it would be Martin Luther's writings that would lead John Wesley to the insight that would change his life forever. Because on May 24, 1738, John Wesley was a middle-aged Anglican priest with a mixed career of modest success and moderate failures. He had been a professor, like Luther. He had taught at Oxford University with some success. Like Luther, John Wesley was a priest in his own church. He had become a priest in Savannah, Georgia, with more failure there than success. And now John Wesley was casting about England for something to do, some purpose for his own life. And he was beset, as he had been throughout his life, with the question, "Am I a Christian? Am I saved? When I die, will I be welcomed into the heavenly places? What can I do to know that I am saved, someone pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God?" And that night, May 24th, 1738, after having spent a morning in church at St. Paul's Cathedral, Wesley amounted to what is a Bible study at the home of some friends. And I'll let Mr. Wesley tell the rest of the story in his own words. He said, "In the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where someone was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. And about a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ. Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. That was John Wesley's life-changing experience. That was what we now call Aldersgate Day. That was the experience in which, in a moment, John Wesley moved from doubt and fear to trust and assurance. What John Wesley heard, and not for the first time in his life, but now with real insight and understanding, was what Martin Luther had heard more than 200 years earlier. That we are saved by faith. And hearing that we are saved by faith alone, brought both John Wesley and Martin Luther peace with God. We are saved not by what we do or what we are. We are saved rather by trusting in God, in what God has done for us, through us, with us, in the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus, his Son. And when you and I trust that God has acted in love to save us, we are saved. We can know, we can be assured of our salvation. Of course, Pope Leo, Martin Luther, and John Wesley never walked into a bar, or at least they never walked in together and at the same time. Martin Luther, in fact, walked into several bars, because Martin Luther was fond of good German beer. But something connects all of these men. Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, Methodism, the religious traditions these men represent, share a common belief. Catholics and Protestants, despite what you may have been told, share the belief that salvation is a gift of God's grace, received by faith and trust in God's promise to forgive sins for the sake of Jesus' death on the cross. And so I'll say again that God has chosen to offer us grace. It means that we don't need to do anything, earn anything, say anything, accomplish anything, or buy anything to earn God's love. Instead, God freely and lovingly chooses to save us. And we call that grace. We are saved by that grace through faith, choosing, as Luther and Wesley did, to trust that Jesus died and was raised for us and for our salvation, to take away our sins, and to give us to share in all the life of God. Happy Reformation Day. Amen.